You're listening to an SDSHS Press podcast. We're joined by Merlin Magner, author of the forthcoming book Come Into the Water, A Survivor's Story. Merlin's powerful memoir tells the story of how she lost her family in the Rapid City flood of 1972, and the journey she then took as she tried to put her life back together.
So, Merlin, tell us why you felt now was the time to write this book.
Martin, I think that the seed for this, if you want to call it that, was actually planted while I was in Brazil. And that was, I took so many trips there, but around 2005. And I had gone there to seek healing for these chronic headaches that I had been enduring for quite some time. And the environment there was very safe. It was like being in a cocoon. Mm-hmm. And I began to open. And when I say that, I mean that I was lucid dreaming. I started to jot some things down. Family themes mm-hmm. kept surfacing because I think relationships there were very close-knit and were formed very quickly and felt very deeply. Mm-hmm. And I felt very vulnerable. I felt very, as I said, very open and very raw. So I started to, as I said, from the dream state, write some things down. And some of those dreams were flood dreams. Mm-hmm. And I began to share some of these with some trusted friends and journal, if you will. Yeah. So I think that it began there. And you know, having said that, it was never with the intention that any of it would be made public or, you know, with the thoughts of this will be a book.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, we're 2011 now, so it's 6 years in the writing, if you like. Obviously a lot longer in the creation, or the, you know, there's a lifetime's worth of information there. But you know, you mentioned here that, you know, it's a safe environment, and you kind of started the healing process, and part of that was writing things down. But, you know, did you ever think you would be able to open up quite as much as you have in your story and you know, tell a much larger audience what was going on?
Oh, never, Martin. And to be honest, over the years, you know, people would invariably in conversation say, well, and, you know, tell me about your family. Mm. And it would always be for me kind of in the third person. Well, I lost my family in a flood, and then we would move on very quickly.
Right.
And I can honestly say that it never crossed my mind. And I would really sometimes even kind of jokingly say, not in this lifetime. You know, in other words, I would never contemplate writing a book or do that now. I could not contemplate it. I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't even imagine it. So, no, it never crossed my mind. It only really began to take shape after, as I said, when I got back from Brazil, I was still writing some things down, and they were very, you know, raw and deep mm-hmm. memories and feelings, and I kind of piecemeal shared them in emails with various friends. One, a best friend in South Dakota, and another friend in New York, mm-hmm. Who happened to, she was retired, but had been in the publishing business, and they were both just kind of, I think, kind of shocked and stunned, and I didn't really know if that was good or bad. But my friend in New York said, are you going to publish this? And I said, oh no. And her immediate response was, I think you should, which surprised me. And so I sort of filed that away and just kept kind of chronicling this journey that I was on.
Right, sure. So would you say that those two conversations were the trigger, the final catalyst, if you like, to set you on the actual book writing side of this, as opposed to the healing process side of it?
I think so. It's interesting. One, I say my friend in South Dakota, she was the safe heart space. She was the, oh, Merlin, you know. Mm-hmm. She was the place where I could sort of cry and process. And my friend Joanne was more the businesswoman. this is one good writing, which I was very humbled by. And then she said, I just think this story is important material to share.
Yeah.
There's something here. There's something significant, and I was humbled by that.
Sure.
You know, I still am.
I think you know, as people get a chance to read this, I think the quality of writing and the power of the story comes through. You know, obviously. So, you know, I think we can all thank those two friends and conversations you had with them to get you to put this down on paper. And, you know, you've mentioned, as we said, you've mentioned the healing aspect and the kind of cathartic nature here. But what was the hardest part of the whole thing, of the book writing?
Sure. Oh, that would definitely be, without a doubt, having to revisit The Night of the Flood.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's obviously the crux of the story. And I knew that if I was going to retell that, in its entirety, I was going to have to dive pretty deep.
Sure.
And I was going to have to remember as much as I could. And I really didn't know what was going to happen when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had kind of, you know, visited those memories, you know, here and there. But I just presumed that a lot of fear would be coming up. And then there was that question of, am I going to be intact afterwards? You know, there was something at stake, you know, my sanity and sort of, you know, what's going to happen when I really do start to dig into these crevices in my mind and bring them up. And in fact, I had spoken to, I don't know if I shared this story with you, I'll make it brief, but I had and I think I write about this in the book, a dear friend who was a journalist, and she said, oh, you've got to interview people that were there that night and who rescued you and so forth. And I said, oh my God, and that was pretty overwhelming. And at that point I thought, well, I can't do that. And she called me right back about a half an hour later, and she said, you know what, I'm wrong, I made a mistake. I think you need to just start writing and remember what you remember. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, people that witness a car accident, if you ask five different people who saw the same or witnessed the same event,
right,
they'll give you five different.
Yeah, and it's your story that you're trying to tell, and not somebody else's version of your story.
Yes, and that's why I felt that at the end of all of this, the prologue was very important, because not that it's a disclaimer, but I'm saying you may remember it differently.
Mm-hmm,
there were
mm-hmm.
many, many people that suffered that night that lost family members as well,
mm-hmm.
but this was my experience. This is, in effect, this is my story, and this is how I remember it.
Yeah, I think that comes through really well.
Good.
So you obviously, you know, you had, like you said, you had to revisit some fears and some deep-lying memories, and that was the hard part, but what was enjoyable about this, or if anything was?
Well, and this was a surprise to me, because once I made the decision to begin, each time that I sat down to write, the words simply flowed onto the page. It was almost effortless, and if I was interrupted or whatever, whenever I came back to return the next time to write, no matter where I had left off, the words were always there. It was almost like being taken along by a current, if you will, like being on a river, and I never once felt blocked or impeded, and or had, you know, quote unquote writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt guided, and I always felt protected, and so that for me was a surprise.
Sure.
And a joy, considering the nature of the subject matter, which was very serious and, you know, so
mm-hmm.
forth. Although
mm-hmm.
I don't want the reader to think the whole book is a downer, because it's not, you know.
No, I don't, I you know, I think the again, you know, the words that always spring to mind to me is power, powerful writing. And I think the subject matter obviously brings that forward. But, you know, your whole life is far more than simply that one event. So, no, I think that, you know, anybody that picks this book up to read it is not going to be, is going to find a lot more in there, I think.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, you know, that's interesting because it was obviously the time you were ready. You know, you had that flow of words, like you said, and you were obviously ready. And you know, to kind of link on relatively seamlessly, hopefully.
yeah.
Talking of flow, and I think music flows throughout the story. And it's interesting that you sort of provided a soundtrack there. And tell us a bit more about you know, about the music and about the influence and about what you love about it and why.
Thank you for asking that question, Martin. It was really tangential and important to my story. I grew up in a home where all was centered around music. And mm-hmm. when I say that, I mean generations of it. My father, as you know, was in broadcasting and had a radio show, which consisted of really playing all the big band sounds. I don't have any at the forefront of my mind right this minute, but he would bring home these albums, you know, hot off the presses.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, my mother was in heaven over that. And so I was exposed to music from the time that I was really a little girl. My oldest brother, Bill, was there for the birth of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was Elvis and, all the Bobbies and, to write about. And then, of course, along came the real revolution, which was Beatles and the Stones and all that came after that and that explosion during the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
And so the house was constantly filled with music. And my brother formed a band and, you know, numerous bands, and I attempted to play the piano. Of course, he played by ear, which was really frustrating to me. But I had no knack for it. But so there was that. We had a real deep appreciation for music, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always, you know, people would laugh. They'd see me in my car, and I'd be singing, you know, to high heaven, and or humming along, or. And I even remember in California, I was talking to a friend of mine that I had reconnected with recently, and he said, I will just always remember hearing you sing. And, you know, for a moment, I was kind of embarrassed, thinking, oh, my gosh, you could hear me through the wall. Yes, but I loved it, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if I was off key or what. I certainly don't make any claims to being
right.
a singer. But I knew all the words to all the songs, and it was the background, really, of my life. So
sure,
it was
yeah.
very important to me. Yeah,
good. I think that really comes through in the book as well. So I think that's an interesting, sidebar, if you like, that comes through. So like, people can almost chronicle things from the music. So that's, you know, it's an interesting addition to the story.
And also, Martin, as I was writing, there was always music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was always music sort of playing in the background of mm-hmm. my mind. And I think I described that in the book, you know, and how that at times would go away and recede, and then, you know, it would come back and so forth. So I hope that's evident to the reader, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I think
yeah.
you know, people should be able to pick up on that at the very least. So yeah,
good.
And just a nice touch. You know, I think it's interesting that in some ways your book doesn't have what people might term a traditional ending. You know, a kind of the end on the
right.
last page. Is there more to tell, or are you kind of waiting to find out yourself where things lead? I mean, give us a little bit more insight into the end, if you like.
Yeah, excellent question. And it's one that I've pondered very often myself. And I think the short answer is yes. I think that there is more to tell.
Right.
It's as if I have finally caught up with my present, if you will.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's here to show me what life has in store for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've spent so many years in this search, really, mm-hmm. As you know, traversing the globe and trying to find these answers, which of course there were, not any to be found. Only in, I think, the feeling space of the acceptance and as you said so beautifully in your summation, the peace and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I was in kind of a time warp, and now I'm caught up and really excited about the next chapter of my life. And I've always felt like I've been a late bloomer in that sense. I'm pushing 60 now, and it's like, oh my gosh, it feels in a way like my life is just starting to begin again.
Sure.
And it's a nice surprise,
So you've got an end in many ways because you've got a beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you're right. You're so right. It's not an end, mm-hmm. as you say in the traditional sense. And I'm at a place where I'm really willing and ready to embrace all that's comes after this now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm clear, and I'm grateful to be at this juncture, knowing that I've come from full circle, and yet I know there's more.
Sure, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense, it's probably it's an exciting time for you now. It's also an exciting time for your book to come out. And, we're looking at a couple of months here now, and it'll be hot off the press. So is the excitement building for you?
Oh, it is. It is. And I to the point where I have butterflies. and I feel like this kid again. And it's like there's a part of it that's still not quite real for me. And I think that will probably hit me when I actually maybe I'm holding the book in my hand.
Yeah, I think that's a common thing for an author,
So, yes, in answer to your question, I'm very excited, and I really, there were times when I thought, I just don't know if this is going to happen or not,
right.
And, being a spiritual person,
mm-hmm.
I think well, we'll see what the universe has planned for me. Not to sound, I'm not one of those woo-woo New Age people that's, off the deep end with these sorts of philosophies. But I just feel like, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I hope it's the little book that will.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Yeah. Well, very good. Merlin, thanks for chatting to us.
Absolutely, Martin. It's my pleasure, and I just want to say it's been great working with you and everyone there at South Dakota State Historical Press. You've all been wonderful to me and patient with me, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, great. Well, we're very glad that you brought the book to us, and as I said, it's just a couple of months away now, so we'll have it soon, and hopefully everybody else will have a chance to read it. So thanks very much.
Absolutely.
Come Into the Water, A Survivor's Story by Merlin Magner, published by the South Dakota State Historical Society Press, will be available in April. For more details, visit www.sdshspress.com. Follow us on Twitter or join us on Facebook.